Hello, and welcome back to the Agora, where we discuss the issues affecting Greek politics, the country's economy, and society. I'm Phoebe Phronista.
And I'm Nick Malkoutsis. This episode is a painful one because we'll be looking back at the Tempe train crash, which occurred just over a year ago. 12 months on, a sense of unaccountability and lack of justice pervades the air in Greece. We'll try to explain why that's so.
On February 28th, a transport strike was held in Greece to mark the one-year anniversary of the rail crash. Thousands of Greeks took to the streets in Athens and Thessaloniki, marching under banners reading, "We don't forget, we demand justice." A year earlier, 57 people were killed when a passenger train and a freight train crashed into each other in Tempe, in central Greece. Most of those on board were young Greeks, many of them students who relied on the train as a cheap and, as they thought, a safe way to travel. It was the country's deadliest train disaster ever.
The initial explanation given by authorities for the crash was that a station master had put the two trains, which were traveling in opposite directions, on the same track by mistake. It was a case of human error, the government insisted. But as the days, weeks, and months have passed, more information has been uncovered about what happened or may have happened. Some of these details have been discovered by experts appointed by the relatives of those who lost their lives in the crash. It's an indication of how little trust there is in the authorities and the judicial system to get to the bottom of what happened. It's an issue we'll return to in our discussion, but for now, let's establish what we know about the incident.
So the picture we have now indicates that the crash was much more than just the result of one station master's mistake. The chain of events that led to the accident suggests a failure on a much wider, systemic level. Communications, safety, and remote control systems that are standard throughout railway networks in the European Union, in fact, they're mandatory in the EU, they just were not in place on the night of the Tempe crash. And all the indications are that this was an accident waiting to happen rather than a freak occurrence.
As a Reuters report revealed recently, an investigation commissioned by the government found that the crash might have been averted if two key systems had been in place. The first, ETCS, which can remotely control a train's speed and its brakes. And the second, a so-called GSMR, a wireless network allowing communication between station masters, train drivers, and traffic controllers. A year on from the crash, these systems have either not been installed or are not operational. This just emphasizes what a poor state the Greek railways were in when the crash happened, and of course that continues to be the case. The same Reuters report cites a safety assessment carried out by the EU Agency for Railways. The agency found that Greek railways fell short of safety standards and were blighted by underfunding as well as a complex system of overlapping agencies that had slowed the changes which were needed.
These failures to ensure that the basic safety procedures and standards were in place provide the key explanations behind the accident, regardless of whatever mistakes were made by individuals. And everything that has come to light about the state of the Greek railways when the crash happened points to a system that was operating on a shoestring budget and being held together by duct tape. There are stories of train drivers operating blindly, station masters communicating with them by their personal mobile phones, and no overarching monitoring or safety system being in place. And these things have all just shocked the Greek public.
All these aspects of the incident are currently being investigated. In fact, we have several probes going on. Parliament has held an inquiry, an appeals court prosecutor in central Greece is conducting an investigation. Independent experts commissioned by the families, as we mentioned before, have produced their own report. And the EU prosecutor is carrying out its own investigation into misuse of EU funds in connection with the railway safety upgrades, which were due to have been completed by 2016, but were left unfinished. It's going to be impossible, obviously, for us to get into the details of all these investigations during this episode, but here are a few things it's worth being aware of. First of all, the parliamentary inquiry into the crash stopped hearing evidence in late February. Opposition parties have complained from the start of the probe carried out by Parliament that the scope of the inquiry is far too narrow. They also accused the government of using its majority on the panel to block the summoning of key witnesses. Relatives of the 57 have also complained, even when appearing before the MPs, that the inquiry is little more than an attempt to whitewash the affair and to cover up any political responsibility. Moving on to the prosecutor's investigation, this has so far led to 33 railway officials and administrative staff of the Transport Ministry facing charges ranging from criminal disruption of transport safety to manslaughter through negligence and dereliction of duty, which are classified in Greece as misdemeanors. We also have the report produced by the independent experts hired by the families of the victims, and it's found that work to clear the scene of the accident and then pave it over prevented a proper forensic investigation. Among the additional evidence uncovered were traces of flammable chemicals, which may have contributed to a fire in the passenger train, killing several of the 57 victims. Relatives want the causes of the explosion and fire that followed the collision of the two trains to be examined further amid claims that the freight train was carrying flammable materials, even though there appears to be no record of this. And finally, the European Public Prosecutor's Office in Athens has brought charges in, it actually happened in December, against 23 suspects, including 18 public officials, for crimes relating to the execution of contracts, particularly the infamous contract 717, which was for restoring remote traffic control and signalling systems on Greece's rail network. These projects were co-funded by the European Union. It also appears that the European prosecutor has suggested that two former Greek ministers should be investigated for potential criminal offences in connection to the failure to ensure safety on the Greek railways was up to scratch. We'll have a little bit more on this later in the episode.
And yet, despite all these investigations going on, we still don't have any definitive answers. And when you hear the relatives of the 57 speak, they don't seem confident at all that they will get answers.
Yeah, you know, Phoebe, the thing that struck me most when listening and reading what the relatives had to say to the media over the past few days as we mark the one-year anniversary of this tragic event was how they all seem to be convinced that they will either not get justice or they will have to fight tooth and nail for it. And it's a damning indictment of the lack of faith in the Greek judicial process, but also the perceived capacity of the political system to protect itself at all costs, even if this means not delivering justice for the victims of this terrible event. Representatives of the families, you'll remember, have already appeared before a committee in the European Parliament and seem determined to take their case to the European courts as well. They're open, actually, about the fact that they feel they have a better chance of finding justice there at the European courts than they do in their own country.
Yeah, it's a really, really sad, really infuriating state of affairs. And you can only imagine the emotional and physical toll it's taking on these families. Because not only have they suffered the impact of losing their loved ones in this inexplicable and unacceptable crash, but they also have to muster the strength to hunt for the truth and ensure justice is done.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I think we can all feel their pain or at least sympathize with their cause. And I think this is backed up by the fact that a petition they've launched calling for ministerial immunity from prosecution not to apply for the Tempe train crash has amassed more than 1 million signatures. Mm-hmm. I guess it's also worth pointing out, Phoebe, that the only elected official to face criminal charges is the former regional governor of Thessaly, Kostas Agorastos. He is being prosecuted under a separate case brought by the victims' families in connection with the bulldozing and removal of debris from the site of the crash. The relatives feel this was tantamount to tampering with evidence. Agorastos is part of the ruling New Democracy Party. He wasn't re-elected in last year's local elections, which happened a few months after the crash. But someone who did manage to get re-elected in the general elections last summer was the former transport minister, Kostas Karamanlis. Karamanlis was in charge of the transport portfolio when the accident happened. He resigned soon afterwards, but stood for parliament again in last summer's elections. And to some people's surprise, he was comfortably re-elected, we have to say.
Mine too. I was surprised.
Yeah. Obviously, Karamanlis denies that he was in any way responsible for the accident. And when he appeared before the parliamentary inquiry recently, he seemed to suggest that some of the victims' relatives are being too vociferous in their complaints. Like many of his colleagues, he also thinks the opposition is trying to make political capital out of the tragedy.
Well, what else is new? But there is so much going on in this story, because beyond the human tragedy, which is obviously the most significant part, we have systemic failure, bureaucracy, possible corruption, and a total lack of political accountability. It's like somebody took all of Greece's diseases and threw them into one giant pot and said, "Tempi, here."
Yeah. It's the distillation of everything that ails this country and has done for many years. And it's really difficult to know how to address this issue. There are so many places to start and so many aspects to explore. But, you know, we'll try to do our best. And we have a guest joining us now. She's Nektaria Stamouli, the Eastern Mediterranean correspondent for Politico. She's also the deputy editor of the English edition of Kathimerini, and the president of the Foreign Press Association here in Greece. In January, she published a story in Politico revealing that the European prosecutor asked the Greek authorities to look into whether two former ministers should face further action over the delayed implementation of the safety works on the Greek railways. I'm sure you won't be surprised to hear, Phoebe, that this request didn't go anywhere.
I'm shocked.
So, yeah, I thought it would be useful to begin my discussion with Nektaria on this point and see where our chat would take us after that.
Okay, let's hear from Nektaria.
Nektaria, thanks for joining us on the Agora. You wrote a story for Politico in January which revealed that the European prosecutor believed there was cause for two former Greek ministers to be investigated over the failure to complete railway safety projects. But this request seems to have been ignored. Can you walk us through what happened?
Sure. So when the train crash happened, it soon became obvious to all of us that nothing in the Greek railways was working the way it was supposed to work. So authorities, including judicial authorities, started investigating what went wrong. We realized that the projects for restoring remote traffic control and the signaling systems were not working in the Greek railway network. They had not been completed. These projects were co-funded by the EU, so the European prosecutors started investigating for alleged crimes related to these projects.
Right.
In December, EPO announced, EPO is the European Public Prosecutor's Office, announced that it has brought charges against the 23 suspects, which related to a project that became known by the shorthand contract 717, which is exactly this project. EPO also had bigger targets in its sight, apart from these 23 suspects, two former ministers. So it sent a case file to the parliament, and it noted that during the investigation, suspicions have arisen regarding alleged criminal offenses committed by two former members of the Greek government. These include breach of duty committed by former transport minister under Syriza government Christos Pirtzis, and misappropriation of funds committed by former transport minister Konstantinos Karamanlis, who was the minister when the crash happened.
Right.
And EPO called the parliament to take action, because EPO couldn't dig any further or take any actions regarding these two people, because based on a peculiarity of the Greek legislation that we all know, only Parliament can conduct investigations into allegations against the former ministers. So the Greek government buried the case politically, and it used its parliamentary majority to dismiss the need for an investigative parliamentary committee that could look into any charges brought against former ministers.
Okay, so this aspect of the investigation just stopped as soon as it reached Greek Parliament?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. Now, we know the European prosecutor's investigation is just one of several probes into the Tempe rail crash and the safety levels on the Greek railways. But there have been repeated complaints, either from the opposition parties in Greece or from relatives of those killed in the accident, that justice isn't being done, whether this is in relation to the parliamentary inquiry or the judicial investigation, which is still ongoing. What's the response to this from the Greek authorities? How are they reacting to these accusations, the Greek government and so on?
I would say they use the usual line that we hear in these cases, that justice will shed light. It's what we hear and repeat for other cases as well. For example, the spyware scandal or the big shipwreck in Pylos in the summer. There is always justice will shed light on the case. So in a televised address to mark the anniversary of the Tempe train crash, Mitsotakis said that only justice is the one that will shed light on the case. And that's what we all want. And he also said that justice is moving quickly for its standards regarding this case. We also heard Foreign Minister Gerapetridis, who briefly served the transport minister when Karamanlis resigned after the crash.
Right.
He said that he personally had a meeting with the European Commissioner, and he requested that the European Union's Agency for Railways should carry its own investigation in Greece into what went wrong in Greece. Mm-hmm. And he said that he cannot understand how anyone could be claiming a cover-up. But what we see in reality is quite the contrary. The parliament eventually decided to set up a broader parliamentary inquiry, which would investigate the crime at Tempe and all related aspects. So pretty much everything that has happened in the railways in the last decades. And its credibility had been eroded from the beginning, because instead of focusing on the crash specifically, it went through the whole history of the railways, first of all. Also, when when it was set up, who was going to be representing its party, A New Democracy rejected proposals for cross-party representation in the chair. The end of the inquiry, it coincided with the one-year anniversary of the crash.
Yeah.
And despite repeated calls for extension to examine additional material that came from the prosecutor in Larissa, the majority again declined this request. Apart from the EPO file that we discussed before, that they didn't examine at all, the inquiry did not review or did not summon any witnesses who had testified either to the European or Greek prosecutors that political figures had responsibilities.
Okay. The families of those killed have been very active in trying to uncover the facts behind the crash and to publicize their cause. And at least in my memory, it's the first time that I'm seeing relatives organize in this way following a disaster. They've hired their own investigators. They've appeared before the parliamentary inquiry, which you mentioned. They've given numerous interviews to the local and even international media. And they've been to the European Parliament to meet with MEPs and put their case to them. What do you consider to be the key messages or even emotions that these relatives are conveying? And I guess, given what you said just now, the sense that there is a cover-up going on, or that political responsibility is being hidden, or that justice won't be done, is part of that message.
I mean, the stories, the personal stories of the families and of those killed and of the survivors, they are absolutely heartbreaking. And it's the fact that these are not politicians, not people linked to any political parties. These are people that are mainly about children, students. Most of the victims were students. Every Greek family can associate itself with them, and they feel their drama. And they describe chaotic scenes during and after the crash. And they describe unbelievable actions of neglect or of cover-up. The mother of one of the victims even said that when she went to the judicial authorities, they told her to remain more silent and to go to church more often so that she can find some comfort.
Mm.
So there are many, many things that went wrong. One thing that is currently a lot on the agenda is the covering of the site of the crash,
right,
with aggregate stones. And this prevented, this is crucial because it prevented experts from investigating the scene of the crash. And we should remember that the remains of one of the victims are still missing. So former Thessaly regional governor Agorastos faces charges of dereliction of duty in relation to this, to the works conducted at the site of the crash. And we should remember that he's not protected by immunity as the ministers.
Because he's a regional politician, he's not in parliament.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. So he said that he followed orders by others, others higher up. So what we see the last days is a responsibility ping pong, and we're still not sure who was responsible for these actions. The families of the victims, as you mentioned, have commissioned experts to investigate whether a blast that happened after the crash was caused by some kind of flammable material. Mm-hmm. And it was this pressure, actually, all these actions that led to the judge handling the investigations to launch additional inquiries regarding all these allegations. They have also launched a campaign to ask the parliament to activate an article of the Greek constitution, which gives citizens the right to introduce a bill. They want a bill to be introduced that amends the one protecting the ministers from prosecution. They have an online petition which has some 1.3 million signatures at the moment. And even though this this practically doesn't mean much, and we don't expect that the government will take actions, will follow what they request, basically, it keeps both the state and judicial authorities under pressure.
Yeah, and also, of course, it carries significant symbolism. And since you mentioned the petition, the families are clearly expressing the concern that justice won't be done in this case, as we've seen in previous similar cases. Do you think this is a sentiment that's shared by the Greek public? You mentioned that more than a million people have signed this petition. That would suggest that there is this strong sentiment that people aren't going to be held accountable, especially the higher up the ladder you go. And this is perhaps a more difficult question. If there is a pervading sense of injustice, this belief that the political system is protecting itself or that the judiciary is working in favor of the powerful, is it feeding social or political problems that Greece might encounter further down the road?
I would say that the families of the victims, they are very angry, obviously, and they're very frustrated. But they're all, at least that's what they say, they're super certain that eventually they will make it, that they will do whatever is possible and they will manage to bring justice. And I think this is what this thought is what gives them strength to continue. But generally for the Greek public, the sentiment prevailing even before this crash, but this highlighted this sentiment that justice won't be served as it wasn't in so many other cases. There is this long-running concern in the Greek society of political impunity that is prevailing in Greece. The same feeling, I mentioned it briefly before, the same feeling we have on the spyware scandal, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. no one has been still brought to justice after 2 years for a huge scandal that included ministers, journalists, business people, you name it. There is also a sense of injustice regarding the Pylos shipwreck, which was the deadliest in the Mediterranean. There are still no developments 3 years later regarding the murder of journalist George Karaivas, who was murdered in broad daylight outside of his own house. And the list is unfortunately very long. Mm-hmm. And this feeds in the general feeling of injustice prevailing in the society. And this, I think, feeds the feeling that there is no need to respect the state or institutions since they're not functioning properly. And this also has political implications, obviously. Usually these are expressed by either by abstention or by turning to anti-systemic options.
Okay, since you mentioned the political impact, let's conclude with that. Opinion polls seem to suggest that the centre-right government hasn't suffered a significant, at least, decline in support as a direct result of the Tempi crash and its aftermath, which we're discussing. First of all, do you think that is a fair assessment? And if it is, why do you think there hasn't been a bigger impact? And without wanting to draw direct links between the two, the Mati wildfire in 2018, in which 102 people lost their lives, seemed to have a much more visible effect on the popularity of the Syriza-led government in power at the time. Why have things been different this time?
I think it was pretty obvious from the outcome of the elections last summer that the crash had little, if any, impact in the support of ruling New Democracy Party. Generally, I think it's fair to say, not only for Greece, that the rule of law issues are not high up on the agenda when people go to vote. And they're usually voters are usually focused mainly on the economy and what affects their everyday life.
Right.
Also, after the deadly wildfire in Mati, since you mentioned that, I mean, there was a disastrous handling back then as well. Mm-hmm. So I think many voters think that basically they don't have any better alternatives anyways, that they don't have an alternative that has handled big crisis in a different way, more efficiently. I think if I would say that there was something that has been done differently in this disaster, is basically the way media chased up the whole situation. Back then, we had long investigations, long features. We still have media that are focusing on the trial very closely. They keep the story in the spotlight, in the wildfire. And this puts pressure both on the authorities and the judicial and the government authorities. They try to hold them accountable. We don't see that happening that much in this disaster. We saw many feature stories. It was back on the agenda on the anniversary, but during this last year, we didn't see much follow-up or investigations on what happened, and everything seems to have been done wrong in that disaster. Having said that, I'm not even sure if the Mati accident was the one, if the Mati disaster was the one that had the main impact to the government back then, because there were so many things happening back then. The government had just completed the bailout. We had the Prespa agreement. So there were many things that affected the image.
Okay. Nektaria, that's a good point to conclude our discussion. Thank you very much for joining us on the Agora.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Nektaria Stamouli of Politico and Kathimerini English Edition, and our very own Foreign Press Association president speaking to Nick.
As we said earlier in the show, there's just no way we can go into great depth on all aspects of this story in one episode, but I hope that in the time we've had, we've given our listeners an idea of not only what's happened, but also the prevailing mood in Greece over this issue.
I sense that the aftermath of the crisis, the accusations of evidence tampering, cover-ups, and a lack of justice have now become a story in its own right, and one with potentially damaging consequences, because the way that the investigations are being handled and the complaints coming from the relatives in particular are really eroding people's trust in the political and judicial system. And let's face it, the levels of trust here in Greece were not that great to start with.
Yeah, it's going in a very worrying direction, to be honest, and particularly in terms of the messages that young Greeks are taking from all of this, because, of course, a lot of the victims, sadly, were young people, students. You know, Phoebe, it's been a while since I was a young person, but looking at all this, I'd be inclined to think that this is a country that doesn't really care about me if I was, a teenager in my 20s. And it's a sad and possibly dangerous place to be, but perhaps we should leave that for another episode.
Yeah. We hope we've brought some insight and clarity into this complex and distressing issue. And for those of you who understand Greek and would like to learn more about Tempi and six other tragedies that have scarred Greek society in a similar way, I'd like to take a moment to recommend an audio documentary called Travma, Trauma. It was produced by IMED, the journalism nonprofit I also work for, and it's helmed by my dear colleague Kostas Koukoumakas. It's pretty heavy listening. The interviews with witnesses and survivors can be gut-wrenching, but a pattern really does take shape. You can find Trauma on Spotify, Apple, and on IMED's websites. IMED stands for Incubator for Media Education and Development. We'll also include a link in the show notes. So, if you appreciated what you heard, or even if you didn't, subscribe, rate us, write to us, and we'll be back soon with more. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Thank you.